No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the City of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Yes, he's in the intensive care ward at Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle.
Welcome, everyone, to your favorite hour of the week. Well, okay, if that was true, then we're already in trouble because we never are done within an hour. That is the Palazzo Podcast Prospects Power Hour. You know, Robbie, when I started on this, it was the Power Half Hour. I'm kind of wondering if I'm the problem. I'm just saying, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been kind of
Remember stating how hard it was going to be for me to not state the case. Yeah. All-star break, and then we went into all the fun of minor league baseball stuff, and the Erie Moon Mammoths made their jersey debut, and John Oliver did his best for minor league baseball, which was awesome, saying, if you're anywhere near a town with it, go to it, experience it. You don't have to be a fan of the team or of baseball. It's an event to be there, which I think, first off, is true from my own personal experience. Yep. Minor league parks do a great job of making it an entertaining period of time. And if you got young kids who you're like, they're not going to watch more than three innings of nine. Yeah, no problem. There'll be some stuff there for them to do. Throw a ball through a net. Hang out with a mascot. That people have time, you know, people care about that. And of course you get to watch some good baseball players along the way. So he did a great job. I think they got three more dates set up. I don't think he'll be back for any of those. But he's done his part for the Moon Mammoths. And they even had the guy Moon that discovered the mammoth. They had him there to catch John Oliver's first pitch. So it was great.
Hey, Mikey V. Mikey V checking in with us. So as we've kind of gotten started, it's because we had the All-Star break, we didn't have a whole lot of debuts. Cody Freeman, who's kind of a back of the bench utility infielder, came up for the Rangers. And Brandon Garcia came up. He's going to likely be a swingman for the Mariners. That's our only two major league debuts this last week. But coming off of the Futures game, coming out of the first half, there's been a whole lot of promotions, and some of these are some of your favorite boys. I have, I think, 10 names here, and three of them are catchers. So you'd know that this is a Robbie-centric grouping, and I think four of them are from the Giants. So, yeah, we definitely are really hitting our target markets here hard. But Scott Bendura, Giants outfielder to AA. He's had a really nice year this year so far. Jacob Christian, outfielder to high A for the Giants. Bo Davidson, an outfielder to AA for the Giants. Now, here's Rafael Flores, catcher for the New York Yankees, moving up to AAA, which is a little bit interesting. And your boy, Kyle Karros, third baseman with the Colorado Rockies, moving up to AAA.
I'm excited on this.
He is one step away.
I don't need it to be a... Yeah. Like, the fantasy sites are going to tell you, you know, now he could be a late season promotion. Not interested. Let him go up against, you know, some 33-year-old pitchers who are trying to hang on and some 24-year-old pitchers who are, you know, throwing really hard and locating poorly. Let's let him get against that level and see what he can do for, I don't know, 200-ish at bats, maybe, if we get a good long run, and see how he finishes the year. It's really promising to have him move there, and knowing that Colorado, reasonably speaking, should be able to make room on the roster in 2026 if they feel the need, because we know they're not aggressive in free agency. So this could be a good futures move, getting Karros there now instead of him potentially starting 2026 there, and then people could get a little, I don't know, a little too stat-centric with how he starts. You know, putting a lot into that. So,
Nick Mitchell.
My goodness. Adar's checking in here. Good to see you, Adar.
Talking Coldplay. Yeah, I that's been kind of played out, obviously, if you could tell by my status. But Nick Mitchell, outfielder with Cleveland, up to high A. J.R. Ritchie, this is something that's a little bit interesting. He is actually lined up. I believe he's pitching tonight. In AAA now. He came up with the Braves system, was a starting pitcher in the Futures game, and he's now in AAA. And they very intentionally put him in the rotation spot in Gwinnett that would allow him to match up with either this spot or the spot that Joey Wentz is pitching, tonight's spot in the Braves rotation, which makes me wonder if he isn't kind of tagged to come up soon. I don't know what that soon is, but Jefferson Rojas of the Cubs is up to AA.
Right.
Sal Stewart. Yeah. Sal Stewart is up to AAA for the Reds, which, you know, because they don't have any third baseman, so it's a good thing he's up there getting close. Chris Suero, another catcher for you, up to AA for the Mets. And the Mets did recall, I don't have this on here anywhere, Mets did bring back up Francisco Alvarez. So let's hope. You know, you want to see a guy with that kind of talent realize it. And so I hope he does. He's fun when he's playing well. Joseph Sullivan, outfielder with the Astros, is up to AA. And last but not least, Eduardo Tate, catcher with Philadelphia, is up to high A after the Futures game. So any other than Karros, any of those guys stick out to you, Robbie?
Yeah, a lot of movement.
A lot of movement, yes.
Well, to your homer out point with Richie, it does seem like this could be a 1-2 start and in. So that one's fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's – let's see what happens at the end of the month. Let's see, you know, I think the Braves are, you know, we've got another week here. Let's see what happens after next week, because it would not surprise me at all if they end up dropping the last two games of this Giants series and are in a bad spot. Would not surprise me at all if they start selling off some pieces and looking at what they got for next year.
Right, yeah, and at that point, you're not going to be Russian Richie.
Well. So we are starting to see a little bit of trade movement, but not really the major names yet. Adam Frazier went from Pittsburgh to Kansas City for Cam Devaney, infielder. And the Braves went out and acquired Dane Dunning to eat up some innings and gave up Jose Ruiz, a right-handed reliever that they got off, I think, waivers from the Phillies. So that's the trades, but they are happening. There's some movement happening. Uncle Ted's been a big Lucas Braun supporter. He's asking what's up with Lucas Braun.
It's Lloyd Braun.
Is very straight right now. He is really struggling with kind of a dead zone fastball, and it's getting hit. Because it's getting hit, he's getting a little cute with his location on everything else. And that's just, it all kind of snowballs. So, but the big news this week, seriously, talking is an issue, is our top overall pick signed. And in fact, last I checked, and I didn't sense
certainly, about and we noon will see. Today. Sorry, Ben. I feel like you or I are having audio issues, and I don't know on what end it is because I'm hearing everything very choppy. So if that's me sounding choppy, I apologize. But I feel like there's a delay. So if anyone's hearing that, I do apologize. Hopefully, it sounds normal to everyone else. But go ahead with our signings.
Yeah, last I saw earlier today that I think four of the top five were already signed, which is really rare, including number one and number two. So, yeah, I think it's interesting what we're going to – I like what Washington did with their money. I think it makes a lot of sense. The Eli Willits contract makes a lot of sense when you see what else they've – been able to do with it. You have in here that the Blue Jays have reported 18 of their 20 picks are signed.
That's crazy high already.
That's the thing that I've noticed is a lot of those day three picks have a decision already, which that's not something you usually see.
Almost like they discussed it before they picked them, almost.
Yeah. You think, but we can't say that. And just because I want to, stick it in the craw for a few Red Sox fans, Devers is playing first base today against the Braves. So I have that on the other screen over here. So I'll let you know if he makes any fantabulous plays or happens to make a really crappy one too. So
he's a team player, guys. He's a team player.
There you go.
One of the most important things on a team is a pitcher. Why? Because they can get you out of jams. And that's what we're going to move into right now, which is my Jesus take the wheel pick. Cue the music. Oh, what's that? We don't have the music anymore. Anyway, this week we're going in a praise Jesus kind of way. We're going to talk to the good Lord. That's right, everybody. Brad Lord, he's not just an MLB pitcher. He's back in the rotation. I think this might be the third go around or definitely the second go around, but I think it might be the third time for him. But on the year, Ben, he has 65 innings pitched, a 3.46 ERA, 56 Ks, and seven save holds. He did get a quality start in there in his first run. But since he moved to the bullpen in 12 and two-thirds innings over the last month in particular, 9 Ks, 2.84 ERA, he collected a win, two save holds. He's been a great pitcher for Washington to fill in here, there, and everywhere. So he's back in, and it looks like he could stick for a little bit. It really obviously is going to depend on performance with these guys. But Washington's not afraid to give playing time to performers. So if he can chug along and be a 4 2/3 to 6 1/3 type guy, we could see him get on a run here. And I believe he's supposed to pitch tonight, which originally we were going to record last night. Scheduling conflicts arose, no big whoop, but he's on the bump tonight. And then we'll dive into him. And we'll also have a look back at Jansen Junk, who was my pre-All-Star break pick, and see how they're all doing. But that allows us to very quickly, for us at least, get into the main topic tonight. 13 minutes in, oh my goodness, we are on fuego. We're going to be talking about the 2024 draft 1 year later. So everyone picked in that draft, who do we want to talk about? Who are we, you know, kind of leaving to the side for one reason or another? Ben put in the work to put down half the draft class, their names below. We're going to sift through and discuss them. But we did talk about on the previous podcast that six of them had debuted. That is Nick Kurtz, Jack Caglione, Chase Burns, Christian Moore, Cam Smith, and the poor angel, Ryan Johnson, who's up and down and all around. I've even seen him dropped in a 20-team dynasty where I think it's 30 spots in the minors that you can have. So 600 minor systems, he's been dropped in a league. Crazy. But anyway, of the six, Ben, any fun, exciting notes on those guys?
Well, I think it's very interesting that if you were to probably go to Vegas right now and bet on the American League Rookie of the Year, two of your three highest or lowest odds, I don't know which way you want to consider that, but two of the guys who would have the most likely odds to win the award are in this class, Nick Kurtz and Cam Smith. I mean, Kurtz over the last month has just been unconscious. He's hitting tremendously well. But if you add in Jack Wilson to that group, there's your right now that is kind of the head of the class for the American League for Rookie of the Year. And two of them were playing college ball in June of last year. So that's just, it's really kind of interesting.
Yeah, certainly. You see a lot of the talk of players that are, you know, doing what we expected and players who have gotten hurt. But there are also players who are healthy and have just not been great. And of the ones in the first round, so the big bonus babies, we have seen Hagen Smith, Seaver King, PJ Morlando, Vance Honeycutt, and Levi Sterling leading the class in the wrong direction. Is there anything you think needs to change within these guys, or is this simply an adjustment level? Because as you just mentioned with the last group, they were playing college baseball 13 months ago.
I think with Smith, a lot of folks are going to be surprised to hear us mention that, because they'll look and they'll go, well, he's got 56 strikeouts in 37 innings. He's got a 3.16 ERA and a 1.19 whip. He's obviously having a good year. Yeah, he right now has allowed 4.1 hits per nine innings.
Yee.
That is not sustainable, to say the least. he is walking 6.6 per nine innings. And that was the big concern on him. He was kind of a pop-up guy last year. And there were a lot of folks who... There, you found plenty of folks who wanted to argue hard that Hagen Smith was even better than Chase Burns, but Chase Burns had 3 years of college showing that he was that guy, and Hagen Smith had 3 months. And that was kind of the issue you ran into. And man, it's really showing out right now. The stuff is absolutely electric. And when he locates it, you see the possibility of being that type of a frontline guy, but he's definitely someone who has not pitched as well that you would like, or as you would like to see out of that high of a pick. Seaver King was always an athlete ahead of a baseball player and was going to be a developmental project. But when you take a guy 10th overall and he's struggling, that's certainly a concern. I have really been disappointed. I mean, you kind of knew Vance Honeycutt was that kind of guy, but man, I've been really disappointed in his bat. The glove's been great, but you know, that has not gone well. His transition to professional ball has not gone well this year. And talent wise, he's a guy that I really like, but right now he has a 172, 295, 266 slash line, and he's in high A as a college player.
Right, that's no bueno. That should be your domination area, not your struggle bus.
And he's struck out 131 times in 325 plate appearances. It's a third of the time easily, you know, and you're just, that's, at high A as a college guy, that's not what you should be doing. So it's not good so far, to say the least. But all these guys, it's only 1 year. You know, you got plenty of time. It's 1 year later. It's not like we should throw them all out right now.
Right.
But there are some guys that maybe these teams wish they would have picked instead. Right.
We're going to wait till our drafts this offseason.
Yeah. But
yeah, absolutely. There are some early picks that are looking better now. We've discussed them. Sorry, Ben, something's up with audio. I don't know if it's on my end or yours, but I feel like there's a 3 second delay. It's got to be from my audio getting through to you, but it's probably my dial up. So I'll Canadian ramble internet. Off the early. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Well, it's the beavers not paddling fast enough to create the current for the water flow. Anyway, I'll ramble off the players and then you jump back in with the analysis on it. So starting off, Treya Savage looks to just be, he should have been a top five pick. I mean, allegedly, based on what we're seeing so far, Billy Amick with Minnesota, and they also did it again with Desaun Hill, both second round picks. Gage Jump has been incredibly popular in Dynasty, mm-hmm. jumping up boards in value and potential. Peyton Toll, which is a left-handed pitcher with Boston as well. Ryan Sloan, a lefty with Seattle. Mike Sirota, who had the interesting jump of drafted by Cincinnati, moved to the Dodgers. Is that right? Mm-hmm. I think that's right. Yeah. Traded to the Dodgers. Yeah. Third round pick. Kadeem Dawa, a catcher with Minnesota. So obviously that doesn't matter. And then Chase Harland, a Dodger draftee in the third round. They are fun, Ben. So why is it that we like these guys?
Well, just these are guys that, for some reason or another, slipped. You know, Gage Jump had a lot of injury stuff in college, and so he fell. A guy like Billy Amick is the one, to me, that's a why is... I think every time I did a mock last year, I had him in the first round. And so when the Twins got him in the second, I thought, ooh, that's a really nice pick. But then they were also able to get Desaun Hill even after getting a guy like Amick. That really allowed for some impressive returns for them so far. So Rota is the one. He was a first-round talent and had a rough draft season. And fell off, went to Cincinnati in the third round, and you're thinking, well, I don't know where that, it's a really good major league park for him, but I don't know how well they're going to develop. And then he ends up with the Dodgers, and they have, I mean, he is one of the breakout prospects. He's on a couple of top 100 lists already, and a third round guy from last year, and he's already a top 100 guy. That's a pretty substantial jump already.
Yeah, certainly. And Seattle doing it again with Ryan Sloan. I shouldn't say with Ryan Sloan, with a pitcher. Always good on them. Now, Chase Harland is a name I am much less familiar with. This, I'm assuming, is a college hitter.
No, he
is high school.
He was high school.
I'm afraid to click anything on my computer. High school.
Yeah. good sized guy. Was one of those that was fairly young for his class, just turned 18 like the day before the draft last year.
Oh, okay.
So a really young guy, so they're kind of gambling on that. But and he's only been in rookie ball, so it's not like he's had any full season yet. But already 291, 361, 514 in rookie ball with 6 ding-dongs and 40 games. So you can't ask for much better than that. If you're taking a chance on a high school kid, that's exactly what you want to see. So.
Yeah. I'm just checking quickly here to see his rostered percentage on Fantrax. It's at 6% for everybody out there. So definitely somebody to go and click on your list. Looks like this offseason he was drafted in 2 of my 4, Fantrax dynasties. He could be out there in yours, worthy of a pickup for sure. So what's the deal with Kadam Diwa of
so
Minnesota.
He is
this catcher. Let's get it over with.
I mean, to be frank, the Twins need catching. Their system is really devoid of catching. But what is really impressive with Dia is this is a guy that when he's not catching, he can hop out and play center field, which he has done 7 times this year already. So a very good athlete. But what he has done and did, the big issue for him, he was hurt a lot in college. And so did not get a lot of exposure, only played 20 games in his draft season, balled out in those 20 games, but only played in 20. And so that's why he fell in the draft a little bit. And the Twins might have gotten a pretty good bargain here with him, because he's hit for power. He's running, you know, 4 steals this year, good strikeout and walk rates. Just this is what you want to see out of a guy that you took a chance on.
Yeah, I mean, why not? If you are Minnesota, you're looking at this board right here in our conversations and thinking, hey, we done did good. You know, you got three astute picks here, second, third round. Yesavage, we did discuss already. We'll see what Toronto wants to do. We know they should not be pushing him much further than double A without maybe a last start or two of the year, possibly a triple A if they want to do that for him. But they do have Alek Manoah, who is their guy to come back this year. It should not be a holdout for Trey Yesavage for everybody out there thinking he'll be up. That's not smart, Toronto baseball. It should be Manoah up, and we'll see. And then the last guy we haven't discussed is Peyton Toll with Boston. So what makes this lefty a win?
For one, because he's starting and he's showing that he can. And that, I think, was this is a big boy lefty. This is absolutely a Robbie lefty. 6'6", 250 pounds. It's a big boy lefty coming out of our Texas Christian. I was going to say he was an SEC guy, but big guy, excellent stuff, and goes out and everyone said this guy is most likely a reliever. Well, not only has he started and he's gotten himself up to double A, but only 18 walks in 67 and two-thirds innings.
Wow.
Take that all day long. You know, he's really locating well. That was the big concern is, you know, is this guy going to end up struggling with his location? And no, it's really gone well. We're going to talk about another one soon. We can kind of use this as a transition. But one of our fifth round guys to talk about is Brandon Clark, who is also a college lefty that Boston drafted. And they've been doing something right with their pitching development with these college pitchers. You know, we used to always talk about their division mate, the Yankees, picking up a guy or two and turning a guy in college who is okay into a legit prospect. But now Boston has done it very well already with two guys who are just coming out of the draft and already jumping up prospect lists. So,
damn it. I don't need the Red Sox to be good, even if I'm not appreciating the Blue Jays right now. So, but yeah, now we're going to break down, as Ben has already tipped into here, some of the 4th through 14th round gems. So this is a wide variety of everyone from everywhere and all points of signing bonus value from the what were we, like sub $15,000 guys up to multi-million dollar signings here, and then we will cap it off with the late round guys 15 and beyond. There's the list is great. I mean, if you didn't like how you drafted in fantasy last year and you're looking to get ahead on, you know, or get it back next offseason, this is the one for you, because you're going to see all these names here and they're not all going to be able to jump up prospect boards big time now because they get reclogged with all these new players that are coming on with their big signing bonuses and their hype. But these guys are already chugging along less than a year for most of them into their pro career or their first professional assignment. So if they keep going, they're just going to be those slow burn guys that tend to be in the team's, you know, fifth through 15th ranked prospects who come up and, you know, when the things work out right for playing time, they stick as major leaguers.
Yep.
So Ben, fourth round. Should we do it this way? I broke it in through rounds. Yeah. You'd put all the names.
I saw that. That would work great. Yeah.
All right. So we got Marco Dingies, which should be Dingers. He should just change his name. I'm just going to say it. Catcher with Milwaukee.
Honestly, I've heard it pronounced Dingus, which would be just amazing. If that's actually his name is Dingus, I'm here for that.
Dakota Jordan, the fourth rounder as well with San Francisco. That's an outfielder. And Tyson Nabors with San Diego, right-handed pitcher. San Diego's draft, we'll see in years. But at the moment, it looks like they were able to select some talented guys who have so far been fun to see.
And quite frankly, these guys are, I mean, Nabors is a college guy that is a reliever, so he's moving fairly fast. He's already in Double A. Mm-hmm. 59 strikeouts in 38 innings. That's a nice showing. But these are guys that they've had a lot of luck with guys out of this draft turning into something at least this year, which really helps them on the trade market, because we know that's what San Diego likes to do, is get a guy and then see him find any modicum of success and then flip him for something they need to compete. And that could be
instant asset.
Yes. There we go. Dingus, I really am interested in. He is another guy, kind of like we talked about Dia, very good athlete. I wonder if he is going to stick behind the plate because of that.
Okay.
Because I wonder if he outgrows catching just because he is, he's an all around athlete that can really be positive for him. Florida State guy. That was, I was like, I know he went to a big time college, but yeah, Florida State. And they started him in Single A. He was with that really good Carolina team to start the year with Jesus Made and Luis Pena and all those guys. And he's been up already now to High A. He's actually spent more of his season now in High A. This is a guy that was likely to finish the year Double A, but you know, just he's advanced, he's hitting well, makes perfect sense that they'll give him at least a little time in Double A. Or this could be a guy that those of us going to Arizona could possibly see, especially if they want to see him do some more catching with guys that, you know, of various different calibers. Because a lot of what you end up seeing, while it's not pretty, a lot of what you do end up seeing down in at the Arizona Fall League are at least major league pitches. They just may not know how to put them into the strike zone, but they are major league pitches. So yeah, those are good. Jordan was the guy that a lot of folks loved as an athlete. He's definitely smoothing out the edges. In fact, he's smoothing out the edges a lot better than Seaver King. And they were often considered very similar players as far as the development that would be needed. So the fact that he's smoothing that out a lot faster than, but there is 88 strikeouts and 383 plate appearances. So there's still some rough edges, but it's going fairly well. But it does. Oh, the other end of things, it's in the Cal League. So he's a college player playing in Single A ball and striking out 88 times and 383 plate appearances. So there's some concerns, but it's also a 302, 373, 470 line. So
forgive,
kind of have a little mix and match both. Yeah. I mean,
I would say he's one trip to the optometrist away from everybody saying it's fine. It's fine. He got glasses and now everything is fine.
Yeah.
So what fifth round, Ben? It was a good one. Devin Fitzgerald with Texas, yeah. AJ Cossey with KC, Will Taylor, outfielder with Pittsburgh, Brandon Clark, a lefty, well, the one you already mentioned with Boston.
Yeah.
Solid. Like, is there, yeah, you talked about Clark. Is there an MVP kind of guy looking here? KC, maybe?
If I'm going by talent, probably Fitzgerald. Really, really talented kid who showed up in Texas's fall instructs and had everybody talking about him. And now he has moved into full season ball this year pretty quickly. I really like him as a potential guy that could do, could become something pretty substantial for them. Cousy is a guy who I think should move very fast. Because if I remember right, haven't they pitched him entirely out of the bullpen this year?
I would love to look it up, but like I said, my computer told me I needed to update before we started recording, and I feel like it's caused, every time I open something,
I think
it just slows me down. Yeah, so I've closed as many things as possible.
Yeah, he is relieving. 157 okay. ERA between high A and double A. 49 strikeouts in 46 innings. So really a good showing. This is a guy who a lot of folks weren't quite sure what his role in the majors would be, which made his draft stock a little bit murky. But mm-hmm. the Royals basically picked him and said, okay, you're now going to be a hell of a reliever. And he has shown that. So that's a guy that could move up pretty quick. You might be hearing about him, depending on what Kansas City does here in a week. You might be hearing a little bit about him by the end of the year.
Well, considering they've called up Rich Hill, I think they are waiting till the very end to make other additions. Now, mind you, I think Rich Hill's last AAA start, he had 10 Ks, if I'm not mistaken, but he hasn't been dominant prior to that. No. So, but anyway, okay, so that's the fifth round. I mean, we don't have to go far to find the next duo of quality guys a year later. We're in the sixth round now. Sadly, it's a Yankee left-handed pitcher. I'm excited by that, but Griffin Herring, lefty, as well as Ryan Gallagher, a righty with the Cubs. So what have they done of note?
Herring was one of the hottest pitchers to start the season. He has kind of cooled down some, and I believe that that coincided with a promotion. Yes. He's cooled down some. He's now made 8 starts in both places combined, has a 171 ERA over 89 and a third innings. That's pretty darn solid. Mm-hmm. He is going to be someone who needs a lot of extension and who needs a lot of, you know, all of the analytically minded folks love Griffin Herring because he spins the ball well and he gets extension and he has all that sort of stuff, but it's a 92 ish fastball. So it's not a blow you away sort of setup, but I believe, and I don't have this in front of me right now, but I believe that that was a $10,000 signing or something like that for the Yankees. It was a cheap signing to get Griffin Herring.
And I'll risk my computer crashing to check that. Then you can go on with Gallagher.
And Gallagher is another one. I gotta plug him in because I'm pretty sure that he's another reliever one. Oh nope, he's a guy who folks thought would go into the relief role, and the concerns that folks had have been legit. Because he does not have a fastball with a ton of movement on it, and he's allowed 10 home runs in 77 innings, but he's doing that with a 3.59 ERA and has been promoted up to double A. So he's making it work. But so did you find out the signing bonus for Herring?
I am looking here.
Okay. I can keep sliding forward to.
I'm narrowing it down. I was on the site. Yeah, please. I'll circle back to tell everybody.
Okay. Because they don't have enough prospects, the first guy we're going to talk about in the seventh round, of course, is a Dodger draftee out of Oregon State, Elijah Hainline. and really, to me, seems very, very similar to the path that Alex Freeland took up their system. It's just kind of a steady Eddie, middle infield, can play second, third, short, and just keeps hitting and getting on base. Yeah. And that's a really nice profile to have, and especially he's played a week's worth of ball at AAA already, but spent most of his time in A and high A so far, but did come in and fill in for a week. So they're very confident in his ability, that's for sure. So he's, of course, you know, like I said, the Dodgers, they need someone else because they don't have enough. And
okay, I've figured out.
Okay.
I'm caught up, Ben. I've caught up.
Okay.
Griffin Herring signed for $339,000.
Oh,
his slot. Oh, wait. Oh, I'm sorry. No. I think he signed for $797,000 and his slot was $339,000.
Okay, well, then I'm
let me scroll back up. It's going to take 4 minutes. So, I'm going to sign back up. Yeah, so the slotted amount was $339,000. He signed for double.
Okay, so he did just fine. I apparently...
But now I can track the rest as we go. So you say who it is, and I'll be able to tell everybody.
Okay.
So I'm sure I'm going to look and see who the other one was. There must have been somebody low in this round.
Yeah, there was someone that caught my eye, but he had a very...
Herring was the same thing. Herring was seven...
But
yeah, I'm looking.
The Braves
was low. Ryan Gallagher with the Cubs. Gallagher was 300,000.
Okay. So he was close to slot, but still, yeah. So the one Brave that I will mention this entire section is a seventh rounder for them. Right-handed pitcher who came out of Nebraska Lincoln. So a good corn-fed boy. And he has already made a start in AAA. He is climbing up the system in a real hurry. He is back down to AA now, but he has pitched at four levels already this year, officially. So you love to see that. And then the final one in the seventh round,
Joseph Sears, is the guy you were mistaken Herring for. He signed for $12,500.
There you go. I knew there was one in this area, and it was on a big, quote unquote, big team that suddenly, like, that guy pops up. Well, and the other side of it was
no, it's the Braves. It's the Braves. It's not a big team.
I think it was they don't need any more of that. And, you know, it's Braves and pitching because they have plenty of pitching. They just have zero hitters. And so that's where Herring and, you know, college pitchers and the Yankees, you know, Braves and pitching. Yeah. Additionals. So then the other seventh rounder I have on here, Joseph Sullivan from Houston. We mentioned him earlier getting promoted up to AA. Holy shnikes. Ronald Acuna just popped out. He got mad and he spiked his bat so hard it broke in half. That was impressive to watch. Sorry, distracting. But Sullivan is a really athletic outfielder that has not showed any contact ability so far. But everything else he does really, really well. That's the only issue is he's hitting like 220 and everything else is really good. So... I believe he was a college draftee as well. Yeah, I was going to say University of South Alabama. And high A just got moved up. 15 home runs and 34 steals so far this year. So that's a pretty solid, I mean, fantasy line. That's pretty solid.
This is Ed 209, the future of law enforcement in Delta City. You must rate and review the Palazzo podcast with 5 stars immediately. You have 20 seconds to comply.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
With Robinhood, not only can you trade individual stocks and ETFs, you can also seamlessly buy and sell crypto at low costs. Trade all in one place. Get started now on Robinhood. Trading crypto involves significant risk. Crypto trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto LLC. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services. Crypto held through Robinhood Crypto is not FDIC insured or SIPC protected. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Securities trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Financial LLC. Member SIPC, a registered broker-dealer.
So Robbie just sent me a message saying that he got disconnected. So I will keep flying here a little bit. He did chop up some things, and so I'll keep moving through. I didn't find any guys of note in the 8th or 9th round. So then we go to the 10th round. Ryan Nicholson is another guy who signed for very low, went into the Angels, and they actually, he's a college player that they didn't push, which is for some reason a rarity for them. And he's really had a nice year to start the year. Just pulling it up here, he's in high A and hitting 270, 392, 456, 13 home runs. Just a good power hitting first baseman, exactly what you'd want. So maybe they found something. The other guy in this round, Brendan Gurton from the New York Mets. He was a Sooner in Oklahoma. I was going to say he was a bigger school guy and kind of a 6'1", 217. His pitch profile is not one that kind of makes you really stand up and take notice. But he's pitched 65 innings and struck out 82 and has a 2.49 ERA in high A so far. So he's getting it done on the field. It would be interesting to see if he gets a promotion here soon. But that's where he's at. Now, the 11th round, after the 10th round in the draft, you often see, or you do see, the there's a bonus pool change. And in the 11th round and beyond, anything you have left over from your bonus pool can be applied into the 11th round and beyond. And so some teams save up some money, and then they go out and they try and get these high-end players. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I'll tell you, we have one team that did really well with this so far. But the first guy we're going to mention is a Detroit Tiger because, of course, you know, I was trying to be nice to Govier, and now he's not here, so shame. But he's been a reliever only, left-handed, 6'7", a little skinny for Robbie's taste, 6'7", 195 pounds. But he has posted a 160 ERA over 28 appearances so far, 39 in the third innings, 46 strikeouts. This guy showed off very well so far in the bullpen. let's see. Then the other one, Dalton Pence, is a guy who I thought would go fairly early last year. He from the University of North Carolina. He was a reliever, but I thought, he came out of college as a reliever. I thought he would certainly go in like the fourth, fifth round as kind of a potential money saving type. Instead, he went in the 11th round, and the Rangers have used him in kind of a swingman role. He pitched 50 innings so far in 23 appearances, 11 of them starts, 67 strikeouts, 3.42 ERA, and he's pitched across both A-ball levels so far. So he's had some pretty solid results so far. Robbie is just going nuts in the comments section here, folks. So if you're not in with us, you are missing out on a fun thing while he waits for his computer to restart. So I apologize for all of you who are not able to see him having fun. It says he's now on YouTube while his computer reboots. So, I think we might have a Robbie back soon.
I'm back!
Yay! And now you're number one in comments.
That's so. Right, yeah, I apologize. It suggested I restart before we start. I'm like, not tonight. You're not suckering me in. And apparently it's important. So I will not make that mistake next week. And I apologize for poor audio that anyone heard. Ben, hopefully you're catching me as I'm saying it and we don't have the continued delay. You've obviously done an excellent job as expected, getting us through this. So I'll pop back into place here. So you're in round 11, right?
12 now. We've moved on to 12. I should maybe checkmark these.
Xander Darby and Tyson Harden.
Xander Darby and Tyson Harden, which Xander Darby is an interesting one. Cal Santa Barbara. He has not left the Cal League so far. Very much a contact and kind of a doubles hitter. And so the Cal League is doing well for him. As a college guy, he really probably needs to be out of low A. But so far, the results are good. So you at least mentioned that. But Harden. I don't know how you... But he
Hardin sounds fun.
Yeah, it does. When we get to the end here, if you pull up the Brewers draft, you pull up the guys who have done well so far, holy buckets, the Brewers did very well at this time, day three. It's now been changed and everything is done in 2 days. But the 10th round or the 11th round and beyond, the Brewers just blew this away. They got excellent pitchers. Harden's a guy who comes from Mississippi State and had a really solid draft year out of the bullpen for Mississippi State, and Brewers took him and decided to convert him into a starter, and he has been excellent in high A and in double A already now this year. So showing off very well, 86 strikeouts, 84 and a third innings. So anyway, that's the first guy of many that we will end up talking about with the Brewers here.
Signed right for slot too, Ben.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing is.
Yeah. This is kind of where they started to do their work. 147.5. And
they had a couple of guys in the end who are big time over slots. But most of these guys really aren't that much over slot. It's just they ended up getting guys that are really performing. So, okay. Now,
13th round here we had, or you've got, sorry.
RJ Gordon. Helps when I type the word or the name incorrectly. University of Oregon product, and another guy who results weren't great in college. 5.13 ERA in his draft year. So that's not going to usually draw a whole lot of attention to you, but it showed out very well in high A for the Mets this year, and he got a promotion up to Double A. It's been less great so far there, but 88 strikeouts, 79 innings, 3.42 ERA. You know, pretty darn solid from a guy you got in the 13th round. So,
and for slot right. as well, 150. Yeah. That's what he signed for.
This is a name that I think could be a lot of fun, if depending on how it's pronounced. But Lucas, it looks like Ellisalt, which I think he, you know, if he's smart, he gets in tight with the Morton folks and he creates his own line of table salt. You know, that would really go well. 13th round pick. He's from one of the better junior college programs out there, Chipola College in Florida. 6'4 righty, and Detroit has had him in single A so far this year, but he's really been pitching well. He's kind of been used as kind of a swingman type. I cannot tell you if this is an elite arm, if not, or, you know, but the results have been really good so far. So,
yeah, the other guy is Evan Aschenbeck, which is why Ben waited to let me say it. a left-handed pitcher with the Cubs. Lucas Ellisalt signed for 187, and we're just checking this for fun. We're waiting to see the big crazy names pop up. So he was a tiny bit over slot, and then Aschenbeck with the Cubs. Where are you? There you are, sir. Signed bang on 150.
I was just gonna say,
nothing crazy from any of these guys in this area.
Here. He was the closer for Texas A&M last year, or actually he was the co-closer. He was the left-handed side of their closing duo. But the Cubs have turned him into a starting pitcher, and so far he's got 81 innings already. He is very much a sinker baller. 61 strikeouts and 81 innings. So if he gets to a spot where he's got a questionable defense behind him, that could be a bad thing for him. But the stuff is really fun. I did a look on him earlier for my own website. And, yeah, there could be a legit, like, back-end starter here who is kind of a good get-you-through-seven innings of – three-run ball and a lot of double plays, that type of a guy.
And for everyone who was wondering, oh, Ben, what's the website? It is Catching Baseball Greatness.
Chasing Baseball Greatness.
Chasing. I knew it started with an S.
Chasing, like the last name. You know? Chasing. So, but
yeah.
And
it all makes sense.
Yeah. This week, I am in the midst of really writing a crap ton right now, because this week I'm reviewing every player who was in the Futures game that I had not yet covered this year. So that turned out to be like 30-something of the players. So I'm having a whole lot of writing this week. Let's see.
Sheesh.
Then, well, here's one of the boys that you are going to enjoy is our next one to talk about. And that is Yoel Tejada of the Washington Nationals. And of course, the Nationals are well known for their basketball team pitchers. This is another one. 6'8" with coming out of Florida State. But the fun thing here, he is a switch hitting 6'8". I don't know that I've seen a whole lot of that in my life. Now, he is a pitcher, but in his in his time as a hitter, he is considered a switch hitter, which that's very interesting. So he has gotten promoted now, just like this last week. He's going up to high A. He's been at low A all year. And 3.43 ERA, 74 strikeouts, 78 innings, one complete game already, which that doesn't happen all that often in the minor leagues. So, but 6'8", which, you know, fun one to keep track of.
Yeah, he is. And he was a little bit over slot I think about 50,000 or 75,000 over slot for himself, for anyone who's watching the money move here. And Cameron Cisneros of the White Sox was under slot. He's $50,000 signing for the
Cubbies. Yep.
At first base select here. But his year has been going quite well.
He has had a very good year. More of a doubles guy than a home run guy. But definitely a contact guy, more walks and strikeouts so far this year. Only 29 strikeouts and 256 plate appearances. You'll take that all day long. Still an A ball, and it, you know, very well could be a guy that once he gets to double A and faces double A pitching, we see where the holes in the swing are. But so far, he's hit well. That's all you can ask.
Yeah, just been old for the age to this point.
Yeah, yep. So then we get into
Let's hit up the 15th through, and my choppy audio will continue. So I'll just primarily let Ben speak, except when I go off for long tangents like I currently am, because I want to make sure I get the timestamps in. So we are transitioning here at minute 57. To start us off here. So Ben, we've got a ton of names, and I will not cut in with $1 million signing and $5,000 signing thing, because I just feel like my audio sucks too much for this right now. But if I think something's important, like a child, I might put my hand up and then wait to get the go from you.
Be called. So yeah. Tanner Smith is the first one I mentioned here. He's the Padres selection out of Harvard. But 6'6" right-handed pitcher, 245 pounds, which might be a little light when I saw him. He didn't really do a whole lot in rookie ball, but then they brought him up to single A, and he has had a 0.96 ERA over his first six appearances at that level. I don't know, just always an interesting thing to have a Harvard guy get drafted and see how they end up doing, but specifically in that farm system, because you know if the Padres can get you to do anything positive, they're going to find a way to spin you to another organization. So, next guy, of course, is a Yankee, because we always love Yankees. But for them, it's kind of an interesting one because he's not even 6 foot tall, and righty throwing, lefty hitting, which, you know, and he's a slap hitter extraordinaire, well, gap hitter, but 10 triples on the year already for Marshall Tool. Having a really nice year. It's all in single A so far. He hasn't gotten above single A yet, but it'll be interesting to see what he ends up doing going forward, because this is not a normal profile. This is a guy who stole 43 bases in his draft season, but 27 steals and 10 triples this year so far. So certainly a speedy boy. And then one of my favorites on this list is the next one, and that's Travis Smith. Of course, this area, he was picked by the Brewers. And he, let me pull this up here. University of Kentucky, 6'4", 220, so good size kid. And he's on that Carolina team, and just a monster sinker, like a Derek Lowe type of a sinker slider guy. Really crap to try and get anything up in the air on him. 50 strikeouts and 66 innings in single A, but he's got really good defense behind him, so he kind of allows them to do what they need. Only one home run allowed in those 66 innings. So that kind of tells you what he is and what he could potentially be. I don't know. Watching him, it is very heavily two pitches. I kind of wonder if this might be a future like middle reliever who comes in when you've got runners on first and second and you need the double play. That could be the type of guy he ends up being. But that's still valuable if you get that in the 15th round. So the next name on here looks like it could be really fun, but it's not. Is it Cole Peschel? But it looks like it could be Pesci. So that's, you know, if you had someone who could rhyme with Joe Pesci, that would be really kind of fun, but it's not quite that. Twins draftee, and they have had him start so far. He's been in both levels of A-ball and had a pretty steady Eddie solid year. 2.53 ERA, 67 innings, 67 strikeouts. Like I said, you get guys like this in the 15th round. If they pop up and become anything as a major leaguer, you've won. You know, and that's so far he's had good performance. okay. There we go. TJ McCants is the first one. 16th round is a round that I found was kind of loaded with really interesting guys. I know. Somebody's getting to have fun playing with the media assets while we while we talk.
Well, there we go. Sorry about that. Is it still going?
Yeah, it stopped.
Okay.
We did get a couple of them, though.
I'm trying to participate in some way, and I can't even do that right. I'm sorry, everyone.
So TJ McCants is a guy who spent 3 years at Mississippi, then went to Alabama. Just a hell of a good athlete. I believe he was actually originally at Mississippi to play football and baseball. So really, really high-level athlete to be able to be recruited to the SEC for both. But he was drafted and signed in the 16th round by the White Sox. And, I mean, he's played across A-ball levels. So far, he's a 24-year-old playing in A-ball. That's not amazing, but, you know, still putting up halfway decent numbers. So it's something that at least kind of take some note of. Of course, because, you know, because they do a good job of it is why we have another Yankee. 6'4", 235 lefty out of the University of Mississippi, Xavier Rivas. The Yankees drafted him in the 16th round, and he has only pitched up to single A so far, but 63 strikeouts in 49 innings. You know, that's something. That's a pretty solid return. Jaden, oh my God, Dubinuix with Milwaukee.
Now you know how I feel.
Yeah. But he is actually one who got a lot of notice right away this year because he was on that Carolina team. Ended up back down, had some injury stuff, so he ended up back down in Arizona, and he's back with them again. Really wicked extension that he gets. He's 6'3", but he's just skin and bones, and he's got these really long arms and legs and gets tremendous extension, and it's really impressive to watch. So far, 2.36 ERA in 53 innings. So good start to the pro career. I think this is the other one that was – this is the guy who I thought this is what they probably wished they would have gotten from this is what they were hoping they were getting out of Vance Honeycutt is what Nate George has done so far. But they did draft him out of a high school. The Orioles drafted Nate George out of high school in Illinois, so kind of a cold weather high school. And he has just been very hitterish. 7 triples in 51 games, 32 stolen bases, just 34 strikeouts in 215 plate appearances, and playing a very impressive center field. This is pretty much what they thought they were getting out of Vance Honeycutt as the college guy that they spent a first-round pick on, and instead they're getting it out of a a 19-year-old that they drafted in the 16th round. Trying to think here. Mayer is... See, this is... Yeah.
What is it you're looking for, Ben?
Bryce Mayer, as I say, I thought this was the guy. He is already, he's on his third level. He's in double A now. He's gone through both A ball levels and is now in double A for Houston. Not tremendously overpowering stuff, but he does a really good job locating it, and that just ate up A ball hitters. He's having a little more difficulty getting it by double A hitters so far in the Texas League, but still 93 strikeouts and 72 innings this year across three levels. That's a solid performance.
And 13 last but not two thirds at double A, he does have 18 Ks, so that's not too bad. Yeah. But at A ball, to your point, or high A, sorry, 41 innings pitched, 45 Ks. It caught up to him there, so it's likely it'll catch up to him at double A as well.
So the last but not least out of this round, Eric Loomis is a right-handed reliever, and I did not put it down. I should have. I think this is a side, like a side armor, and it's really kind of fun to, like, a not just a side armor, but a below side, like below straight side arm, so like a Darren O'Day type. But 64 strikeouts and 40 innings of relief so far. It is just A ball, but still, that's, you know, you could only pitch where they you're assigned, and so far he has done very well where he's been assigned. The next one, we get to talk about someone really fun. This is our next, as we move into the 17th round. Did you know that this year, Manny Ramirez and David Ortiz both had sons who were drafted in the 2024
draft? No, I did not.
I do not have D'Angelo Ortiz mentioned on here. He is David's son. He's been... He exists. You know, he's they haven't cut him yet. But he's not really doing anything outstanding in any way. So it kind of went, okay, well, I'll just leave that one by. But Lucas Ramirez is a left-handed hitting, which, I'm sorry, that originally, when I first read that, that made me so sad that one of the greatest right-handed swings of our entire, you know, of all of baseball, Manny Ramirez has a son who hits left-handed. That made me sad. but 17th round pick by the Angels out of high school in Florida, and he signed, which I thought was kind of surprising. I'm sure he probably doesn't need the money. He's probably in okay shape there. But so far has only been in rookie ball. But solid walk rate. Hasn't struck out too much, showing some power, showing a little bit of speed. Really been fun to watch so far. I don't know if he's long-term a superstar or anything, but I always find it interesting when you get a high schooler to sign in this at this area. There could be a number of reasons why, but there kind of tends to be a lot of want to with a high schooler at this point, you know, where they get signed and they really want to succeed and they're going to work hard to try to. So,
right. This is the reward for all that training they did in high school, and they're willing to go pro versus the college route because maybe they don't like school. Maybe they just love the opportunity presented. And we had talked last week, which we'll table it for another day, about the NIL and the money that can be made now and those things, and how it's changed a bit, but not for everybody. For some people, you know, you talk to all the Canadians, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a hockey player. I want to play in the NHL. Talk to, you know, baseball players. I want to be an MLB-er, right? So maybe sometimes it just looks very cut and dry. That's my direct route. Team wants me. I'm in. And, you know, move on from there.
So Ryan Jackson is the next guy we'll mention. Padres draftee, started out at the University of at Nevada, Reno, and then went to USC for 2 years. So 4 years of college, which usually that's a big reason why he fell this far, because this was a guy who had plenty of talent. I was always impressed watching him last year. He was in the Big Ten, so I got to watch him last year. This year so far, now, the downfall here is, so for some reason, the Padres thought it'd be a good idea to keep him in A-ball. They started him in single A. He's made it up to double A. But on the year, 72 walks and just 63 strikeouts. That's a pretty good ratio. Can play second and short, has some speed. I like Ryan Jackson, and for a 17th round pick, I think that I kind of pick him as a future major leaguer, as a 17th rounder. That's a really impressive get for the Padres. And last but not least, Jay Thomason. And, you know, I will say, Joe Lowry had a little smart aleck comment towards you about the Canadians and hockey players.
Yeah, but you can be both, right, Joe? You buy a farm and then you tap the trees in the spring. Now, you can get into hockey jokes and say that the Toronto Maple Leaf players are always available in the spring because they get ousted from the playoffs. But generally speaking, you can do both. You can do it. You can refine the syrup. Where I'm surrounded by maple. Hey, be quiet back there. And it's fun. It's fun for everyone.
So the final guy I'll mention, but Joe shows up now, and he missed out on all of our discussion about Giants guys, although I think we might have one more left before we're done. Maybe not. Anyway, so the reason why I like the next one is Air Force guy, and actually was a teammate of Paul Skeens for a couple of years. Jay Thomason was drafted by the Twins, and he's another guy. He's just very professional, solid hitter, 429 on base so far this year, but it's only been an A-ball. Part of that was for injury reasons, but could play all around the infield, has played a little bit outfield as well. Might end up being a utility guy that never makes it out of the minors, but this is a guy he's putting in the effort every day, and that's going to be a good example for younger guys who might be the high-end bonus babies to have to out-hustle and out-work a guy like that who could steal your playing time. So,
I've got an example from back in the day when the draft was 30-plus rounds, Ben. The guy, you described him perfectly, and it's Kevin Pillar, who signed for nothing with Toronto. They moved him slow, and he just outperformed everyone at every level, and then eventually got the call up to the Jays. Had a bit of a hot head on the first call up. I remember with John Gibbons, he got pissed. He got pulled before an at bat, and ended up getting demoted out of it. And then when he came back up, I don't recall any issue with the rest of career until he was talking smack post this year with Texas and said how that clubhouse was a little different for him.
Yeah. Didn't he just retired too, didn't he? Like officially?
Yeah, after the year had started. Yeah, last whatever month.
So of the late draftees, the name that you might know because it's gotten around the fantasy sports community a little bit is Victor Figueroa with the San Diego Padres. They drafted him in the 18th round, 6'5", 240-pound boy. That's a full-size man right there. And he has been doing nothing but hitting so far this year. The only issue being it's been at A-ball, single A. He got his notoriety because he started off, Robbie, his minor league career in the complex. Here's the slash line. 605, 659, 1263. For a 1922 OPS
was it 40?
44 at bat or plate appearances.
Yeah.
But in those 44 plate appearances,
44 doubles,
three triples, five home runs. Like, holy crap.
Amazing.
Yeah. And he's hit seven home runs and 17 doubles in 46 games since getting promoted. So he's still hitting. But certainly that got everyone's attention. He's not that guy, but he certainly has shown that he was a worthy draft pick and could definitely be a whole lot more than an 18th round guy for sure. So the next one, Nate Payne with Miami. Brandon Payne was the guy with Milwaukee, right? That was the high school outfielder. Yeah. That was drafted early. Here's another high schooler out of Pennsylvania. So a cold weather arm, lefty, 6'3". So not quite tall enough to really get Robbie's panties a little moist. But
panties.
Hey.
I'm out there. I'm out there, baby. And I'm loving every minute of it.
A little Tom Petty song comes to mind. But anyway, so far, Nate Payne, 318, he's been in complex ball. So he had, you know, it is a high school kid in his first professional, not surprising that he's in high school ball, and especially as an 18th rounder. But 39 innings, 55 strikeouts, 318 ERA. I mean, just really had a solid performance so far. The walks are a little much. But, yeah, I certainly a guy that catches your attention. And I think the first time I got wind of him was I was on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it nowadays, and he had a game where he had, like, 5 strikeouts among the first 7 hitters or something like that. And somebody was there and showing video of it. And it's a nice delivery. But cold weather guy, so I'm sure there probably wasn't as many eyes on him as somebody else. But and then the last guy in the 18th round, of course, is going to be a Milwaukee guy. And this guy was a big money guy. I believe that Tyler Renz signed for something like $850,000 in the 18th round. Coming out of high school in New York.
He was between that and a million for sure.
Yeah. But certainly has shown that he was worth it, too. 50 innings so far, 13 walks and 43 strikeouts, 3.38 ERA. Yes, it's complex ball, but again, you pitch where you're assigned, and so far he has excelled in the complex league so far. Yeah.
Handsome gentleman.
Promo videos are always fun to the – okay, now look left. Here, toss a ball randomly in front of your face like you will never, ever do in reality. There you go. That looks dramatic. But no, I mean, well-built kid. I think there's probably room to add on. 6'4", and it's listed as 180. Looks 6'4", and 180 in that. Certainly could get to about 220. Pretty healthy on that frame without hurting him. So there's lots of room for growth. He's a
member of VLOU, Ben. Do you see that? That's the channel, VLOU.
Yeah. Yep. I have heard of their things. So so now we are on to the final round of the draft. Oh, and I misspelled the first name. And I see that you added on the one that I left off just because... But he is a Canadian, so I should have known.
Well, so you had said wanted to... Yeah, obviously.
But the one guy that I have on here is... the guy that I have on here, Evan Yates, was drafted as a reliever out of Cal Fullerton and ended up... been working as a swingman starter this year, 77 strikeouts and 64 innings. It is single A, but they might be making a move or a conversion with him. But for a guy drafted in the 20th round to come out and put up solid stats like that, you'll take that all day long. Yeah, I think he was a pretty solid high school player, but wanted to hit and pitch, and that didn't go so well for him. And in fact, he does not have a single at-bat recorded on on Baseball Reference. So, but okay. We will get into the last guy because we talked about him, and he is Canadian. He is a Brave. So Robbie and I are both happy.
Check the boxes.
Yes, so he checks the boxes that will get him onto this show. Eric Hartman was the Braves' 20th round pick out of, you know, Canadian high school, Holy Trinity Academy. Really has played well this year. Just nothing. I mean, the batting average is not great. The strikeouts are a little high. Yeah, that's exactly it. He sounds like you're saying a certain South Park character, which Eric Cartman being from Canada would be really a fun. Yeah, exactly.
He's thinner. He's from Oh my gosh, gunplay. Remove it. Remove it.
Yeah. Holy buckets. We're going to get
a random clip.
Way to go. Yeah, clip. No, yeah, no kidding. He's got an empty one. Anyway, he's played a wow, couple geez. Games in complex. He kind of immediately got up to single A and has had a little bit of injury stuff, so that's the only reason why he was at complex for a little bit. But he has got 26 steals at single A, 30 steals on the season. He's only hitting 214, but he's shown quite a bit. There's a lot of speed there, and he has played excellent defense anywhere he has been put, which is second, left, center. For a 20th round, 19-year-old, that's really good return on value right there. So, that ends our individual players. Now, I mentioned, I also had on here the best-looking drafts 1 year later. So the teams that look like they might have had a really solid top-to-bottom draft. The A's, obviously, when you start off a draft with Nick Kurtz, it really goes well. But they also had Tommy White as their second pick, and that has gone well. They just have a number of solid players that have come through that draft. Red Gage Sox. Jump. Yes, Gage Jump is another one. There you go. Red Sox. Now, that's including the fact that they used Braden Montgomery in order to get Garrett Crochet as part of their draft group. But when you're having guys like Peyton Toll and Brandon Clark pop up out of your draft in the fourth and fifth round, that's really solid. The Reds. They have a less pronounced draft class, but a lot of really solid players. Sirota would have made that a really, really, really good draft class, but obviously he's no longer there. Then the Brewers are we talked about them constantly in the second or the latter part of this draft. They did a really good job in depth. And then last but not least, the Twins really kind of killed it. You mentioned it, the second and third rounds there. But they also got Kalen Culpepper in the first round, who's been very solid. Nothing elite, but a very solid pick. And when you start off your first four picks with that kind of quality, that's a really good way to start a draft.
Yeah, I mean, we're 1 year through. We're going to get to obviously see this all play out over the next several years. And a lot of the development and the high school guys who have started slow will get to see, especially next year, what the organization thinks about them kind of a year and change later based on assignments and other players that might be moving up the chart, not to the point of getting on 40-man rosters yet if they don't need to be, but big league invites, things of that nature. We always talk about the current year's draft class, you know, who got to come, the few guys, but yep. Maybe we'll be able to spend a little bit more time looking at some of the 23 and 24 class guys who are in big league camp come 2026.
Well, that's all I've got, Rob. You got anything else you'd like to chat about tonight? Cover?
No, when we, when we get off live here, I'm going to ask you about that vehicle you were looking at and tell you all my horrible vehicle stories from the last 7 days. So, but yeah, lovely. I'll wrap it up on behalf of myself, Mike Govier, who is either dead on a couch sick or burned alive in his apartment building. And Ben, we thank you. This has been Palazzo Prospect Power Hour. 2 L's, 2 Z's. Peace, love, hair grease, everybody.
The power prospects is a curious thing. Make a person trade everything for a king. Wyatt Langford is your one true love. For a prospect, you'll trade all the is cruel sometimes, but it might just save your life. That's the power of prospects. That's the power of prospects.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Life is a workout. And Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.